Let's take these past civilizations one at a time. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think happened to them. Let's start with the Egyptians, of course. You know, when I'm looking at these pictures in your book, mm-hmm. An Awful Truth, the Awful Truth, I mean, these pyramids, every time I look at pictures of the pyramids, I'm in awe at the ability of whomever to do what they did.
Well, absolutely. The Great Pyramid is a phenomenal structure. It's one of the few unnatural, man-made, I guess, but I really don't think it is man-made, but structures that can be seen from space. If you look at the historians report that when the pharaoh built the pyramid, he was constructing something that would, first of all, science will tell you that it was designed as a tomb for the pharaoh, but I don't think it was that at all. You don't, you know, because it was supposedly to keep grave robbers from getting to the wealth that was buried with the pharaoh. But, I mean, you don't build the largest structure on earth to hide where your tomb is, you know what I mean? Because, you know what I mean, you just don't do that. So I then started to look and say, well, what possible use could this structure be? And after a lot of research, I came to the conclusion that the structure was built expecting some kind of a battle or a confrontation with the Almighty God. And he was looking for pretty much what you would call a fallout shelter. If you look at it, and you look at the chamber set up, it had the ability to bring air in from the vents at the top, near the top of the pyramid.
It had those shafts.
Exactly. And it had the king's chamber and the queen's chamber, so that if this confrontation came and he could enter and there was a special stone design that would immediately fall and close the pyramid, seal it, and it also had a system of channels that ran down to a well, what they thought was a well in the bottom of the pyramid, which they think is to get water, but I think it was just the opposite. If there was a great flood that would run up that pyramid, and when it got to the top near those vents, it would seal the air in, and of course pressure would build up, and what little water would run in would run down and be drained away in that bottom of the pyramid. So to me, it's kind of a hiding place. I think that would be more a better description of it, because that pyramid could take a nuclear attack. It would be very difficult to take it down. So I think that the pyramid, of course, with its wonderful design, and not only that, the science and some of the speculations are that there was a room in there that had all of the records and great knowledge of the Egyptians. But when I did the research on the pyramid, I found that it had all of that knowledge was in the pyramid itself, the different ways to calculate, three different ways of calculating the year, the solar year. It had calculated into it the 26,000 year cycle of the equinoxes. It had all of this great knowledge, but it's not in a room, it's in the pyramid itself. And it also points to Orion. And of course, it had astronomical aspects also, and that is an enormous amount of research that it takes. I did some on it many years ago, but got distracted by other work and went away from it. But I did write a couple of chapters on it. And there's also, it's been a long time since I did this, but there was a temple in there that had a zodiac in it. And the research that I started on it but didn't complete, but intend to complete, is that zodiac actually showed the calendar earlier on. And there's something that I'm coming close to saying, and I don't want to say it yet, because it's going to come out in the third book, and it is a huge piece of evidence that will show that they had this knowledge of the dynamics of the solar system, and that it's going to produce a piece of scientific evidence that is going to be very shocking. But I'm still in the midst of working on it. My son and I, he's into computers, and he's working up a computer model to make this evidence accurate, but I'm not fully committed to saying it here. But there certainly, just the pyramid itself, is vast knowledge is incorporated into the pyramid, and I think it was a place for for the pharaoh to escape any danger, and if there was some kind of an attack on him.
But you know, but surely, Patrick, they did have a vast knowledge of the solar system. The question is, how did they have it?
Well, these were super. See, the pharaoh was what you would call a demigod. He was a son of God, the same way the Messiah was. And he, first of all, if you talk about like in Genesis 6, where the angels came down and they created giants, they interacted with man, and impregnated women, and some of these creatures that were formed were so huge that they couldn't come out through the vagina; they had to be sliced open and the infant removed. And these were the demigods. They were called giants because they were physical giants, and they were also giants in terms of intellect and knowledge. And they, the spiritual connections that you read in, for instance, Tompkins' book on the ancient Egyptians, where they would go into this trance in the temple and they would put to sleep and the gods would impart knowledge to them. And this was vast knowledge. This was not, simple knowledge. And they had the ability, great engineering skills, great mathematical skills, great astronomical skills. So clearly, there are enormous forces there that because of our atheistic and evolutionary beliefs after the time of Darwin, we're not investigating. The only place I ever hear them investigated is on Coast to Coast, and this is a great tragedy.
Their descriptions of their gods, mm-hmm. They had statues of bird heads, human bodies, reptilian-looking people.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck were they?
Well, they were images of the gods that were in the heavens. And also, if you notice, I've done a little research on, again, this is a long time ago, but they had talking statues. And the spirits of the gods would indwell these statues and speak to the people. And all over the planet, you find these statues. And you see it continued in religion today, in the statues in the church where people are praying to statues. Well, in the ancient world, the gods would actually indwell these statues, and they would talk, and they would give them information. So, when we see the religious statues of today, they're only really a replica of the reality that was there before, because the gods truly did indwell those statues and speak to them spiritually. So, and the great spiritual trances that they would be put in Egypt, and then this vast knowledge would come down to them.
So what happened to the Egyptians, Patrick?
Well, it's the same thing. In that Battle of Armageddon, the powerful forces who were ruling them were wiped out, and they were left powerless. You know, once you lose the ability to communicate with the gods, you become, just a human. Your power is lost, so you become vulnerable to those who still have the knowledge and the ability to get. And by the way, these gods would manipulate weather. They would manipulate different volcanoes erupting and so on to support the forces of that they controlled on Earth against their enemies. So if the Egyptians were to lose their ability to communicate with the gods, of course, the Romans and the Greeks would have great power over them and great advantage. So, there was a lot of that going on. And, at different times, they lost communication because the gods got angry at them.